my friend was just like, I am not dating anymore unless I have like two-factor authentication.
Welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which you can meet New York City's kinda eligible. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani, and stay tuned till the end of the episode if you're interested in matching with our guest.
All right, welcome to the final episode of Drinks First, season 3 finale. I'm super excited to have my guest on today. She has lots of interesting stories and perspectives, and I'm excited for you guys to listen to her and hear about her life and her experiences. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you to introduce yourself. Can you tell me where you're from, where you're living now, and how old you are?
I am originally from Seattle, but kind of spent a good amount of time abroad in Asia over the course of childhood. I live in the West Village now, and I am 25.
And where did you go to school, and what are you doing now in New York?
I went to Barnard College. I studied economics there, and now I'm working in tech with our strategy for how, as a big tech company, we work with venture capital firms.
So she's smart as hell. But you said that you grew up in Asia, like throughout childhood. Whereabouts and what brought you to like different parts?
Yeah.
What brought you from Seattle to Asia?
Yeah, it was for my dad's job for the first part. We were in Beijing for 3 years. So he was just working there. It was middle school for me. So just going to international school. Love to tell people that I had my bat mitzvah on the Great Wall of China. That's my like flex.
Is that true?
I had the party on the Great Wall of China.
Wait, can you do that?
You can. So the Radisson Hotel has like a platform there.
Whoa.
That was lovely.
That is like, that's a huge flex and like such a good fun fact, like icebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. People love to be like, I got bat mitzvahed in Israel at the Western Wall. And I'm like, I kind of think my wall's a little bit better.
So you're Jewish. You got bat mitzvahed on the Great Wall of China.
Yes.
And you lived in Beijing.
Yes. And then I did an exchange program in high school where I spent about a year in Thailand as well. So that was kind of solo. But yeah, 4 years total.
Wow. Do you speak any other languages?
I speak a little bit of Chinese still. You know, I try to keep it up when I can, but it just goes away so quickly. And then other than that, like I tried Thai, but it was just so close to Chinese that I had a lot of trouble kind of differentiating between them in my head. I've always wanted to learn Italian because I love Italy and Italian food and all of that, but just never did it.
Well, that's a perfect segue to this question that I ask everyone, which is where do you like to eat and where do you like to go out?
Okay. As far as Italian food goes, my favorite pasta in the city, and I'm going to butcher the name because it's a long one, is Fiaschetteria Pistoia. Like their ragu is the best pasta I've ever had. Fantastic food there. And just such a cute little wine menu. They bring it out in a little basket and it's all the bottles are there. And then for another one I have to mention is I'm a huge ice cream person. And so my ice cream place is almost always Morgenstern's. Love that place. And I also love Gelateria Gentile. That place is fantastic as well.
It's so good. Yeah. Like, It's like a block and a half away from where I live.
Right, yeah.
Which is so dangerous.
It's so dangerous because I'm in between like two locations of it. There's one all the way on like the west side, like on 8th Ave, and then there's one on University. I'm like, they really have me sandwiched. And everywhere I go, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going to get a gelato because I'm passing this place.
I know. And it's like, it's kind of unassuming because I'm like on the one near University. And I went with one of our really good mutual friends who is also an absolute ice cream fiend. And like she and I, we like went to Italy together, lived in Spain together. And it was just like status quo for us to have like a gelato break every single day. And so we have like really high standards for gelato now.
As you should.
As we should. And this place is really, really, really good.
Yeah, it's straight out of Italy. Like, there's three locations in New York, and they're the only locations in the U.S., so.
Oh, I did not know. Wow, I'm feeling super spoiled now because they're, it's, like, so close to me.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. As far as going out, another one is anyone who knows me knows that I frequent Bar Pisolino. I am always there. Their House Manhattans, frankly, just go off. They're so good, and it's just such a perfect spot for, like, a first date, whether that be coffee or cocktails. Like, it's a great place. The vibes are impeccable. The outdoor heating is impeccable, and the service is great, and the drinks are fun too. So, love Bar P. Where else do I go out? I feel like I'm in the market for a new place to go out. Like, I just want a place that's fun and dancey. And, you know, I love the Jane. It's so close to me, but I still associate it with college and, like, yeah, all the messiness of that. So, trying to find kind of a more grown-up place where I can still dance.
Right. And I mean, I feel that on the Jane. Like, I'm a little biased right now. And I've actually spoken about the Jane on the podcast before. And I want to be very clear. I am sticking to my guns. The people who run the Jane are actually incredible people. This is, like, no dig to them. But I think that on any night, I am not throwing a party there, or somebody I know is not throwing a party there. It is very, like, college vibes, like, just, like, your first place to go out in New York kind of vibes, which is, like, great for people who are looking for that, but it's not personally a place I would go on my time off.
Yeah.
But I absolutely adore throwing my events there because they run a super tight ship. And the space is beautiful and huge. And yeah, love the disco ball, love the team there. So, like, that's no dig to them. But, like, basically what I'm saying is if you go to the Jane, come for a drinks first party.
Don't go there on a night in, you know, a random February in a tank top and get, you know, behind AE pilot pledges in line, because they will let the frat pledges in before you. Infuriating. That was my one little, you know, negative experience at the gym.
Right, right. I'm trying to think, like fun, dancey, and, like, still kind of close to you.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole draw of the Jane, is, like, you can walk home.
Yeah. The Georgia Room was nice too. Like, I liked the party there. I felt like there was a lot of space, which was nice. And it's not as close as the Jane, but definitely, like, still walkable, especially when you're drunk. Like, I just will walk anywhere.
Yeah. Georgia Room's actually really, it's pretty close to me. I love Georgia Room. They're the same team as the Jane, so close to my heart. And yeah. I like this. I think as we get older, like, we don't need, like, a super, super cramped place to, like, go out. So it's nice that Georgia Room has, like, the space to dance and also the space to, like, the space to kind of, like, chill, have a drink, like, take a step away from everything. Like, that I really appreciate as somebody who's,
it's, like, so hard to, like, find the balance of a place where you can have fun and dance and feel like you're at a party, but also, like, talk to people a little bit. I feel like even at some of the bars in New York where it's less dancey, they'll be playing the music so loud you can't even talk to people.
Yeah.
So finding that balance is so key.
Yeah, I agree. And also love Bar Pisolino. On one of my, like, top favorite date night, like, lists. Do you have any, like, advice to people who would want to go to Bar Pisolino, but it's just, like, it's always packed? Like, do you kind of know, like, insider tips of when it's off hours or anything? Because they don't take reservations.
Oh my God. The tall blonde guy that is at the door, he will always tell you it's a 45-minute wait, and it's a lie. It's always, like, 10, 15 minutes. So if you're just, like, a little patient, you'll get in. It looks crowded, but cocktails are cocktails. Like, it's a fast turnaround. They don't have real food there. So, yeah, I've never had to wait as long as he tells me. It's always a super quick turnaround just to, like, deter people. I think they say 45 minutes.
That's a pro tip. That's definitely a pro tip. Also, the hot chocolate. Like, if you're not trying to drink, like,
They have another one that's like a, it's like a mocha, but it comes in layers where it's like dark chocolate at the bottom. Like it's thick and you have to stir it up. It's so good. There's whipped cream on top.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah. You have to go there and you have to like Google everything on the menu because you don't know what the word means, but you get there. You're like, oh, I didn't know that thing was in existence, but.
It's a sexy place too. It's just like a beautiful place and it just gives me like European vibes, like
yeah.
When you sit on the street and you have like the best people watching on Grove.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. The best people watching. I ran into Lord and Kiernan Shipka there once. That was fun for me. I also saw like Emily Ratajkowski and Ziwei walk by one time, and my friend like got up from the table and like followed them into the liquor store just to like see what they were up to. I was like, calm down, it's okay. But yeah, Lloyd's boyfriend like lives across the street, so she's around there all the time.
Whoa, wow, that's pretty sick. Well, speaking of boyfriends.
What a segue.
What a segue. Well, we're here to talk about your love life, which has been very interesting, and I, in the best way possible, and I would love to get into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll I feel like you know where you want to start. Like, where do you want to start?
Where do I want to start? I mean, we can always start with my most recent experience, which was frankly just hilarious and fun for me. And it's going to be difficult to explain. I had to draw a diagram for my cousins when I was explaining it to them, but they loved it. So, hey, good content, right?
We love good content. Yeah, let's start with your most recent experience.
So my friend, well, actually a friend of a friend, was hosting this event on the Lower East Side where basically 10 people were presented by their friends as like eligible singles. They had 5 girls and 5 guys and they had someone bail last minute. So I was like, fine, sure, I'll do it. That sounds fun. I show up and this was like 1 week after my egg freezing procedure and I was still like bloated. Like my pants were just not fitting properly, but my friend presented me and it was a lot of fun. She really gassed me up. I don't know that there was a ton of information in there that was very like specific to what it would be like to date me. It was kind of like, oh, she's hot and smart and like can cook and smokes a lot of weed, like woohoo, which, you know, was great. But I was like, oh, I also like to plan activities and I'm really outgoing and like to have a good debate or whatever, you know, like some random things that set you apart. But anyway, I got a lead from that event. So I went on a blind date with this guy, go to Bar P, of course. And that date goes fine. I actually go to our mutual friend's party after that, and he comes along. And then on the Monday following the date, I texted my friend who used to work with him and was just like, what's the tea on this dude? Because we were planning a second date. She goes, oh, do I have the tea? And it turns out that she had slept with him a couple years ago while he was still with his ex. And that after the hookup, he asked her not to tell anyone because it had happened before. So he was like a repeat cheater. And all of a sudden, I was like the only person who knew. He was with his girlfriend for 2 more years after the cheating. Like 2 full years. She never found out. And they were broken up when we went on the date, but like she never knew. So I sent him a text that was like, I just wanted to be as upfront as possible. Like, hey, I'm going to have to cancel on our date on Sunday because I found out you were like a repeat cheater and like dishonesty just isn't it for me. Like if it was one time, okay, like let's talk about it. But it was multiple times and like he never came clean about it even after breaking up, which was just kind of a weird red flag for me. And I was like, there's no scenario where I show up for the second date and he comes up with some explanation that like makes me excited about him again. So I tell him that and he's like, okay, I understand. You can, he's kind of freaking out. And then of course, like he's trying to do damage control. So he tells the friend that set us up and she tells the ex who that's the reason they're friends in the first place. The ex texts my friend being like, I know what happened. And then this guy responds to my friend being like, yeah, the girlfriend found out, the ex found out. Like, no, you were the one that told her, like told the girl who told her. And he was totally trying to make it sound like I was the one who kind of spread the gossip and all this stuff. And I was like, I was just really straightforward. I wasn't going to tell anyone else. And you just went and like dug your own grave, bro. and frankly, maybe deserved it.
The fact that he like, one was like, okay, yeah, so he knew he was in the wrong and then like went ahead and told other people. I'm like, and the fact that he never told his ex.
Like a thought experiment for me too. Like he went and told the ex's best friend. What do you do in that scenario as the best friend? Like, do you tell the ex? Because I don't know if I had been in like a 4-year relationship and found out that for half that time the guy was cheating on me. Like, I don't know if I'd want to know if we were broken up, because I would just have really bad trust issues moving forward, you know? Like,
wait, so the ex's best friend was the one who took you to this event and gassed you up?
Kind of, yeah. Her roommate.
Her roommate. Okay, wait. Because I like need a diagram now. Let me understand this. So your friend took you to this event. So it's you and your friend.
Yeah.
That friend's roommate.
Who was the host of the event.
Okay. Who's the host of the event, which is why you ended up at the event and he ended up at the event.
Exactly.
Okay. So your friend's roommate is the one who's hosting this event. Both of you are at this event. That makes sense. But your friend's roommate also knows this guy's ex. Obviously, because probably your friend's roommate is friends with this guy.
Yeah, so the only reason my friend's roommate is friends with the guy is through the ex.
Okay, so the ex and him ended on good terms then?
Like, enough, I guess. The ex, like, moved away. It sounded like they didn't have an awesome relationship the whole time. Like, there was some fighting and stuff like that. But they weren't on the understanding that one of them cheated on the other.
Right. And so when you asked for the tea on him, did you ask the person whose event it was? Is that the person you went to?
So this other girl that I asked was just like totally removed from this group of people. Like, she also went to Barnard, but I had gotten dinner before the date with with her previous roommate and had shown her his Instagram, and she goes, like, this guy looks familiar. I'm not gonna say more, but like, she had known what went down and like just didn't want to tell me in advance. And like, you know, I was going to go on the date either way. So it would have just kind of spoiled the vibes. But afterwards, I kind of knew that I needed to follow up with the roommate and see what the deal was. So that's how I ended up talking to her and finding out about it all.
So you asked, you just happened to be having dinner with this girl's roommate, the one who was the person he was cheating with.
Exactly.
And the roommate, this other roommate, knew.
Yeah.
Just by happenstance. And then you were happening to go on this date with this guy. So when you, did you ask the roommate that you were having dinner with, or did you ask her friend?
I asked her friend because we were also friends. It was just like, we haven't been talking as much. It was just, and then I was like, also imagine like being this guy and being like, I went to this event where it was like the blindest date, you know? These random chicks are getting presented on PowerPoint. And I was like, sure, why not? And then this girl happens to know the girl you cheated on your ex with. Like, oof.
Like, happens to go to the one person that he probably never wanted you to talk to.
Yeah.
Never wants any of his, like, future, like, love interests to talk to is this one girl, unless he was cheating with other girls.
So I found out that the repeat time that he cheated, like the reason he said that it had happened before when he had hooked up with my friend, was just like a kiss. It was a drunk kiss. So that's definitely different than like a sleepover. But, it is there's someone out there that knows that he was in a relationship and kissed someone else. So one, kind of.
That is, okay, if there is anything to take away from this is that New York City is fucking tiny.
Tiny.
Tiny. And it doesn't matter how safe you think you are. You're never safe.
Don't cheat.
Don't cheat. No, I was just talking to my friend about this. And she's been like hitting the apps hard. She's like, I'm ready to date again. And she comes across this guy. They're talking. He asks her out on a date. And he happens to be from this small state that this guy I'm seeing also happens to be from, and the state's like really tiny, so they kind of all like around the same age would probably know each other. And so she was like, Ariana, like, just ask like if he knows this guy. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I like send the screenshot to him. He's like, no, I like don't recognize him. But and then like 5 minutes later, he comes back to me with a screenshot of like this guy's Instagram. And it is the most cringy Instagram I have ever seen in my life. It's like sketch comedy, but like not funny at all.
No.
And it's like not even like TikToks. It's like movies that he definitely like edited on iMovie. And it was like bad humor and bad delivery and like kind of just like prepubescent boy humor, like about like small dicks and like things like that. I don't know. It was like really, really cringy. And I like he sent me his like Instagram and was like, I can't like even make it through this like person's Instagram. I immediately send it to my friend and she's like, that's it. Like, that's done. We're not going on a date. Like, zilch, that's nothing. And then she was like seeing this other guy and like they had a mutual friend and she like talked to her mutual friend about him after they had gone on like a date or two. And her friend was like, yeah, he's like super weird or something like that. I don't know. Like, and he ended up being weird. And my friend was just like, I am not dating anymore unless I have like two-factor authentication.
Yeah, gotta have a referral in there. And like, it can work really well. Like, I had gone on a Hinge date with this guy who I was like pretty into, and I was like, let me just do some background check here, some quick Googling. And I find out that like he's connected on LinkedIn with a close friend of mine, because of course we look at boys' LinkedIn. That's what we do. And so I text my friend and she's like, yeah, we went to college together. He actually was seeing a really close friend of mine during that time. They ended on really good terms. He thinks of, like, they both think of each other really positively still. He's just super sweet. Like, would definitely love to see this happen. And that just made me feel so much better about moving forward with it. Like, it didn't work out, but it was like great to have that just like stamp of approval. Like, you know, people are scary. Meeting strangers on the internet is scary, and you never know what people's rep was like in college. And it's kind of nice that you don't know. But if you can have someone just to be like, not a weirdo, not a rapist, like some good things to check off before you move forward.
Yeah. I mean, this is slightly darker, but like about like one of the first parties I walked into in 2020, once things were kind of like opening up a little bit in the summer, like it was like the first party I went to after like being in lockdown forever. And I like am not expecting to know anyone. It's like a party run by like all these kids who went to Ivy League schools. Like, fine, like, you know, I have a lot of friends who did that, but like, you know, Carnegie Mellon isn't not a good school. It's just like a different circle. Mm-hmm. And I walk in and the first person I see is this guy who like I was like friendly with in college. And then like he got totally Title IX, like multiple cases, like kicked out of school, like right before his graduation date. Like, he was like a vile, vile person. Oh, and I hadn't seen, he was a year above me and I hadn't seen him since he got kicked out of school. But I walk into this party and he's like the first person I see, like playing beer pong with a girl and like flirting with all of these girls. And I was like, this, like, one, why is this person here? Two, like, this shouldn't be allowed. Like, I was so angry. I have no idea. Like, I wasn't close with the people throwing the party, so I like have no idea who actually invited him. But I took like every instance, like every conversation I had in that party, I was like, oh, by the way, that kid, he's a rapist. Like, I was like, I don't know what he's doing here, but like,
yeah, like there are so many people like that. It's ridiculous how many people there are like that. And you want to believe that these people, like, they change and you want to give them a second chance, but at the same time, it's like, these are my friends and I need to protect them and I don't want to be at a party with you. Like, please just go find another group of people to like be your new self with. Don't be a bad person anymore. I never want to see you again. Bye.
Yeah. And I mean, this sounds like I was being kind of harsh, but to be honest, like, it doesn't seem like he changed or had any remorse in any situation. Ugh. Like, it ran so deep. And so I was just like, this is really fucked up. Like, this person should not be in this space. But, like, people don't know. You know, if you meet somebody outside of a context, you'll never have any idea if they're not as connected in other ways to you. Like,
yeah.
So always get that two-factor authentication if you can get it. New York is so, so small that if you're, like, dating within, like, a certain age range and a certain, I feel like, education level, you will, like, more than likely know somebody that knows somebody. But that's a crazy story. Because I was gonna, I wanted to follow up with you on that, but I was like, I'll wait until we talk about it on the podcast. Because I was at that party you brought him to, and you were like,
yeah,
well, I don't really know if I'm feeling him. He's Christian.
He was just like the guy that, like, I had looked up on LinkedIn and I was pretty into. Like, my friends had described him as vanilla, and this guy was just like next level vanilla. And, you know, I identify as a white person. Like, I'm a Jewish white person, but there's something that's culturally different between, like, me and, like, a Catholic. You know, this guy, like, he went to Georgetown. Like, I toured Georgetown and I was like, I can't do it here. Like, I get that it's not religious all the time, but, like, every other mom on this tour is asking, like, what the Jesuit crap is like here. And I got, like, overwhelmed being told to write essays about Jesus in college. So, like, you know, someone should have assigned me to read the Bible much earlier in life. I still haven't read the whole thing. You know, I'm very Old Testament, but, like, I'm not even that religious. It's just a cultural thing.
Yeah. Which I think is interesting because, like, I mean, I see it with my Jewish friends. I also see it with, like, my Christian friends. Like, especially girls who are just like, I eventually, like, want to date / marry a guy who is also Jewish or also Christian. Like, I definitely find that interesting because as somebody who's, like, Indian, I'm not religious. So, like, religion's not really, like, a factor for me.
But do you see yourself ending up with someone who's Indian?
So I think that's the interesting question because that's a cultural play, right?
You know, it's Passover right now. I'm out here eating a whole bag of goldfish today, not really practicing there.
Exactly.
But I totally identify with the cultural aspects of it and the values and really have just appreciated the community. And especially, like, when I was living in Asia, like, that was the most Jewish I've ever been because we had such a strong community of just, like, other Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what I was getting at as well, is, like, with Judaism and with Indian culture, it's, like, very much more about the cultural aspect of it all.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of the opposite. I'm like, I love being Indian. I love my culture. I love sharing it with other people when I get the chance to. But I just, like, in my mind cannot see myself, like, with somebody Indian. Like,
interesting.
It just feels, like, too close to home.
Okay.
Like, it feels too similar to me. And I'm like, I find interest in other people where I get to share my culture and they get to share their culture. And we get to, like, learn from each other and experience different things together. Like, all of the people I've, like, seriously dated are Jewish. Like, maybe that has some...
It's a thing. Like, there's a whole article about how Indians and Jews just, like, end up together all the time.
Indian and Jews are, like, the same people. We're, like, literally the same people. Like, I went
to better things, though.
Yeah, I, like, went to a comedy show that was, like, all Indian and Jewish comedians. And it was, like, it was called, like, Twindian or, like, something like that. And I was like, but everybody was, like, howling, laughing because there's so many cultural similarities between, like, Indian culture and Jewish culture. And I also, like, I mean, I grew up on the Upper West Side. Like, most of my, like, best friends are Jewish. Like, I feel way more comfortable around Judaism than I do around Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't until college that, like, a lot of my friends were Christian and would go to church every Sunday.
Interesting.
And, like, I didn't, like, realize that was actually a thing people our age did. I was much more, like, comfortable with my friends who, like, went to Hebrew school, got bar and bat mitzvahed, and then, like, that was pretty much the extent of it. And, like,
wow.
I've been to, like, Passover seders before. Like, I've been to temple before. Like,
yeah.
I feel comfortable, like, in those spaces. But when I'm in a church, I'm like, bah!
That's so opposite of Seattle. Like, no one, you know, there were like some Jews in my high school, but, like, there was just not a big community of it. And coming here, it was like all of a sudden a third of Barnard's population is Jewish. And, like, it's a very New York brand of Jew that I was just like, wait, this isn't my culture. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. So even, like, on different coasts of the country, the West Coast in me, I guess, is more impactful than the Jew sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I just, like, personally, I understand the cultural connection because my brother is like marrying somebody who is also Indian and she's great. And I totally understand like why somebody, it's so much easier to be with somebody who like understands your culture and your experience. But personally for me, I'm very much like, I love learning about other people's cultures and experiences. And that's what I like really value in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like I'll go to Seder and celebrate Passover if you come celebrate the Diwali with me, you know, like I think that's like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And if it's a mutual thing, like, great. You know, I've always wanted to have like a Christmas tree. Like they smell so good and they're pretty. And I just don't want to be with someone who would be like, I don't know, against my kids going through bar bat mitzvah or like participating in Jewish culture in that way. But if it's a mutual kind of like, I'm very open, you're very open, let's combine lifestyles instead of choosing one or the other, then like that's totally cool. I just like sitting down with this dude on a blind date who was like, I'm Catholic. I was like, Catholic is just like, to me, it's a next level of Christianity. Like, it to me, when you say you're Catholic as opposed to saying you're Christian, you're saying something about how religious you are.
Interesting. I wonder how religious he actually was, but I guess we'll never know.
we talked about it. He wasn't that religious. I just think that that was how I was choosing to summarize his vanilla-ness.
Right. I mean, it was not meant to work out anyway.
Clearly.
Have you ever been in a serious relationship?
No. I had like a fake relationship in high school where we were very much just together to kind of have a high school boy and girlfriend and like to kiss and shit like that. But, you know, women's college, I was very focused on school and stuff. I wasn't even like out there exploring my sexuality with all the hot girls around. This is like TMI probably, but like it took me until senior year to like lose my virginity. I had to like track down a boy that I was like, okay, he kind of likes me. I'm going to use this boy to lose the V card because I do not want to graduate with it. It just felt like a checkbox for me that needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happened. It was fine. Our mutual friend also talked about that same boy on your podcast a long, long time ago.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, it was very funny. But, you know, I checked that off the list and then I kind of went from there because I think that was like just a huge blocker for me was I was really scared to go on dates because I was like, what if they want to sleep with me in the first date and I'm like not experienced enough or whatever? Like it was never a prudishness thing. It was like a probably like laziness, you know, like I just was kind of at home doing my work and like I would go to parties, be a little shy. And so it was never like a I'm not down type of thing. But then over time, I was like, oh, my God, everybody else my age has had so much more experience than me. And it became like, OK, how can I just kind of build this up? So that's why I've been also approaching a lot of like my dating life from there outwards. Right. Like it's not necessarily about like long term relationships. It can be if it works out. Fantastic. But in the meantime, like, I'm just learning. Like I'm having my experiences. I'm living my life. I'm trying new things. And that is what I needed to do to like kind of come into myself and gain confidence in who I was because that was totally holding me back from just being my true self on dates. Like I was overthinking it so much.
Yeah, I think this is so important for people to hear because there's so many people like who come to me and they're like, you know, we're out of college and I've never been in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is so much more normal than you would have, like, you would know. Like, it really, really is normal at this point in our life. And I think what's also people aren't always as open about maybe not having a sexual experience until later in their life.
Yeah.
And for you, it sounds like, it wasn't a religious thing. It wasn't like a boundary thing. It was just sort of like, you know, you had other priorities.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. It just like didn't happen. And I was kind of like fine with it until I wasn't. And then I figured it out, checked it off. And like, it's really funny to see how guys react to it. Cause I'm always just like super upfront. Cause it's like, okay, if I'm bad at something, like I just want them to know there's a reason I'm bad at it. And like, I'm open to feedback and like, let's talk about it. But like, you know, I was hooking up with a guy and I was like, okay, like, just so you know, like, this is the first blowjob I've ever given. And he was like, he had kind of a weird look. He was like totally respectful about it. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, don't worry about it. But like, just curious, like, why? And I was like, it's not a religious thing. Like, I basically just gave you the whole explanation. And he was kind of like, okay, sure. And just like moved on. And it was totally fine. And that made, I think, both of us feel a lot better. And afterwards, he gassed me up about it a ton. So either he was a really nice person and liar, or I'm just a beginner's luck type of person.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, even I feel like at any point in your life, like at some point you feel that pressure where it's like everyone else around me is like doing this and I'm not doing this. At least that's how I felt too. I have friends who are like, you know, maybe not as pressed about it.
Yeah.
But like, I felt that way in high school and I was like, oh my God, like all of my friends like are doing these things and like I haven't like done these things yet. And like, how do I do these things?
And nobody talks about it enough. It's like, let's just talk about sex more. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you felt comfortable to tell this guy, like, I don't know if this is TMI, you can tell me, but like, did you have oral sex for the first time after losing your penetrative virginity?
Giving or receiving?
Giving, because...
Then after.
After.
Yeah.
Interesting. So like that wasn't like on your docket as something to like, you weren't trying to hit the bases chronologically.
You know, like I had that in my head. It was kind of like, okay, first I'm nervous about this, but then it was like, I guess I can just like skip to the punchline here and hopefully that will like help me feel more confident in general, because realistically, like penetrative is just like, it can be very passive on the woman's part. And so it's not as much of a performance and you can just kind of be like, this is happening. I'm having an experience. Let me see like if I can figure out what feels good or like,
yeah.
But like with giving oral sex, like you kind of feel under pressure. Like you feel like you're performing something and if you're bad at it, like that's on you. And it's hard to know if you're good or bad at it. So I think there was that level of like extra pressure for that specific task that made it prolonged.
Yeah. Well, that's like a really good point. I've never thought about it like that. I'm sure people feel pressure all the time. Like sex can be like penetrative sex can be really passive on the woman's part. And like, I'm thinking about the time I lost my virginity and I'm like, I like nobody knows what they're doing. They're just kind of like lying there. Like,
I don't know. Like, does this go here? Is that like in what order do you take your clothes off? Like, you know, like there are random things that you're kind of like in the moment, like all of a sudden it feels either like a big deal or just like super, super natural. And that's kind of how you know whether it's a good fit or not. But
yeah. And it's also like, I feel like your first time, at least for me, I don't know. It wasn't like about. It's never really about like pleasure because you don't really know what is pleasurable like to you.
Girls gotta masturbate.
Yeah, girl. I mean, I'm wondering for you now, like that it's been a few years, but also I guess like COVID threw a wrench into like, you know, being able to kind of like make waves and that sort of stuff. Like,
yeah.
Do you feel like you have a handle on like what gives you pleasure or like what you want, what you like, or do you feel like just a basic understanding, or do you feel like you're still exploring?
I definitely feel like I'm still exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially like I feel like there's so much that I haven't tried, and like I'm so open to trying anything as long as there's like communication. That's the kind of thing where the guys that I've been seeing from like Hinge and stuff, none of them have progressed to a point beyond just like, you know, one or two hookups. So it hasn't gone to a point where it's like, hey, want to try something new together? So yeah, a lot of exploring left to be done.
Do you feel like more casual about sex now? Or do you put any sort, like, do you put weight on it on the sense that like, you wouldn't really want to have like a one night stand? Do you feel like you care more about it? Do you feel like you care less about it? Like now that it's happened?
I was never the kind of person that was like, I have to be in love with someone to sleep with them. But I think after I lost my virginity, it just became less of a big deal in terms of something to get like worked up about or nervous about. So it was less of like, this is a really important thing, and more of like, I'm scared of it. And now that I'm like less scared of it, I am way more casual with it. You know, I'm not like, I don't tend to have one night stands because like I haven't tended to like have those kinds of going out, I guess. I could see myself having a one night stand from one of your parties. I would do that. But most of the time I go out, it's with my like main kind of group of girlfriends, and we're all like, they are all in relationships. They're all cuffed and they're serious, and they're like, oh man, it's midnight. Like, it is time to go home. And I'm like, I had two drinks. I'm nowhere near having like the looseness that I would need to have a one night stand.
I mean, next party's on Friday. Like,
hey, wing woman me?
I got you. I was telling some of my other girlfriends, because they're always like, I have so much fun at your parties. But like my close girlfriends, I feel like don't meet anyone because they're just like with my friends.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the same thing goes for you. You're just like hanging out with like your friends who are there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas because like what, I have a table and we're all drinking at my table and whatever. But like everybody else around us is like feral and hooking up and like. Well,
you post all the pictures afterwards and I'm like, where were these people just like pressed against the wall making out? Like, I want to be with them.
They're always around us. I think it's just you gotta like step out of your comfort zones and step away from your friends for a second. Maybe just grab one person and be like, let's do a round. Like, yeah. Let's see who's out and about here. Because it's always better to approach someone or be approached when there's less people around.
Yeah, absolutely. Because otherwise everyone has to like find their own little excuse to like leave the two of you alone. And it gets so awkward. You're like, guess we're alone now.
Yeah, and I'm sure when like guys are at my events and they see like, I don't know, a bunch of girls like at my table, they're probably not like, that's like where I should be like inserting myself right now, you know?
When you see a group of girls in like, trying to approach one of them must be so intimidating. Yeah. And I think like that's also something that just came from like dating apps. Fun fact, in college, I wrote like my econ thesis about Tinder's impact on the dating market. Really fun first date topic. But like a big thing behind it was like, because it's so easy now to like swipe and have a guaranteed date or hookup, people are way less willing to put themselves out there and like take that risk of getting rejected because it's so much easier to hide behind the screen.
Absolutely.
What I find really interesting about that is like, I am so much more open in person. Like, I am so much more willing to be like, yeah, let's go on a date. Like, you might be too short, too tall, too Christian, whatever, and I'll probably say yes. But on dating apps, like, you have to have something to screen with. So I feel like I end up probably saying no to all these dudes that like might have been a great date. I just like wouldn't know because I can't say yes to everyone.
Yeah. There are a few things I want to touch on before like, you know, we're kind of approaching an hour.
Okay.
Which is one, you were like, I've never experimented with my sexuality, even though I went to all girls school.
Yeah.
Is that something that you want to do? Is it something that you have interest in, or do you feel pretty comfortable like in your sexuality?
Yeah, it's something that I've kind of felt like if it happens, it happens. Like, mm-hmm. If there's some sort of chemistry I feel, like, I'll pursue it and go after it. But, like, I haven't changed the toggle on, like, dating apps, for example, because I feel like that can be very – it can feel manipulative to people who, like, really yeah. know their sexuality, and then they show up on a date with someone and they're like, haha, I'm just here to experiment. Like, I don't want to be that chick. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't really feel comfortable like declaring what it is because I kind of feel like it could change at any moment.
Yeah.
And right now I feel like in general more attracted to dudes, but like you just never know.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and especially when you're somebody who's like, I guess like quote unquote a late bloomer. Like, I don't know how.
Like, there's so many things that I think I could have been doing and trying in college, especially like given that I was just meeting a lot more girls than guys that I didn't do. And I think I'm a little bit regretful of that now. So it's like, okay, what do I do now? Now that I'm kind of like doing more dating, whereas college was more just hookups, because it just feels so much more like serious and pressureful.
I don't know. Go kiss someone cute at your next time you're out. Like,
yeah, I have kissed a lot of girls in my life, but that is mainly due to like one evening drunk in Thailand. So, you know. Yay, being 16 and drunk.
Well, the other thing that I want to touch on is you said you went on this like live blind date experience and you were feeling bloated because you had just frozen your eggs.
Yeah.
And I think that is an incredibly fascinating topic that I'm very, very, I like was meaning to text you about it. But again, I was like, we'll just talk about it on the podcast because I'm sure other people are interested in hearing about it. But like the seed was planted in my head by my own mother like over a year ago. And she was she was like, have you considered freezing your eggs? And I was like, what? It really had never, ever crossed my mind.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, yeah, like think about it, like look into it. I would support that decision like financially and emotionally if that's like something you want to do. And I was like, whoa, like that is really something that has not been on my radar.
Yeah.
And then you're the only person I think I know who's our age who's like gone through it. And I know you have your reasons for doing it. And
yeah,
I would love to hear what those reasons are and what the process was like for you and what kind of like just everything about it.
Yeah. So I found out on like my first week of work that my company covered most of the expenses of egg freezing. That kind of planted the seed where I started thinking about it and knowing that if I wanted to pursue it, it was free. But I was really scared because like, first of all, like I don't know if I want kids or not. Everyone who listens to this podcast is going to be like, she doesn't know if she likes girls or boys. She doesn't know like what she wants to do with her life. I don't know if I want to have kids. And for me, I really want to keep the option open. Like, I don't want to be 40 and like in an IVF clinic just being sad all the time. I want to be able to like make that decision when the time comes and just not feel the pressure that I feel right now where it's like, oh God, I probably need to be settling down by the time I'm 30 if I want to have kids. And like, then I guess I have to take any risks I ever want to take in my life between now and then. And I only have 5 years to do anything interesting. And that is like terrifying and just not how I want to live my life. And I was also really scared because I had been on the same birth control since I was 16. And I knew that I would have to go off of that. And there's also like hormonal stimulant injections that you have to give yourself. So like you're fully giving yourself shots. So it's one thing to be giving yourself shots. It's also one thing to like go off of birth control, which fucks with you hormonally, and then adjust to being off birth control and then adjust to being on these stimulants and then adjust to being off of those and then adjusting to being back on birth control. So I was just really scared of this like hormonal trip that I was thinking that I would be on. And luckily I had a family friend who is also a reproductive doctor. And so I just kind of grilled him at dinner one night. I was like, listen, I've got all these medical questions for you. And he basically said, like, if you didn't have a bad period before your birth control, like that's the level of symptom that you should expect from this. Like if you were someone who had like really painful cramping periods, like, yeah, you might have some of those symptoms again and that'll suck. But I had fairly mild ones, thankfully. So I was like, okay, fine. Yeah. And I went and I got my consultation and the doctor just kind of mitigated all the fears I had. And it just, it wasn't as big of a deal as it felt like, you know, like it was really 2 weeks of my life and just the mornings of those weeks. So basically on the first day of your period, you call them, you're like, my period started. And then you go in the next day and they do a blood test and an ultrasound and kind of check where you're at. Then they prescribe you with the hormonal stimulants that you have to take. And you take those and you go in every like 2 or 3 days in the first week, and then pretty much every day or every other day in the second week. And they're just like giving you an ultrasound and blood test every time you go in and monitoring your progress. So they were like, your follicles are growing to X millimeters. And it was really fascinating to see that on screen. And then at one point they get to like 18 millimeters or something like that. And they're like, okay, then you're going to take a trigger shot. And 36 hours after the trigger shot, you go in for the surgery. And like, thankfully, women have a hole there already. So no holes are made on the outside of your body, at least. And they just put you fully under and they use like a little needle to suck each egg out. So I went in there. I have a memory of just like the doctor like holding my hand, which I thought was a little weird, and being like, you know, this is going to be great or whatever. And then I woke up with like a glass of water and some graham crackers being handed to me in the recovery room. Like zero pain that day. I was totally fine. The week following was a little bit rough. Like the week following the procedure was the roughest of it all for me, because I got super, super bloated. Like I am never someone who has had a firm tummy. Like I'm thin, but I've never had abs in my life. And all of a sudden I looked pregnant, frankly, like it, and like my tummy was firm. Like there was a balloon inside of it and it was just like totally inflated. So that was interesting. And it definitely made me really tired. Like I slept for like 48 hours straight. So if you do it at a young age, because that's why I reacted that way, I would definitely recommend taking a little bit of time off work following the procedure. But I didn't. Thankfully, my procedure was on a Saturday. So I had Sunday, and then work on Monday was like fine. I was just kind of out of it. But basically, because at 25, like I had so many healthy eggs, they were able to, they got 43 eggs, which is like a ridiculous number. And 33 of them were mature. But that meant that they like poked 43 holes in my ovaries. So like the more eggs they retrieve, the harder the recovery is. So that's why I was so bloated, because like it was just my body trying to recover. But yeah, I felt like Regina George on Calteen bars. I was like, the only thing that fits me is my sweatpants.
And do you feel like back to normal now? Like how long did it take for you to feel like normal again?
Yeah, it was pretty much 1 week to return back to normal. What they said was like, as soon as your next period hits, that's when you kind of know that the cycle is getting back to where it should be. But yeah, it took about a week. And yeah, there are some like, you know, fun and gross side effects like constipation and stuff. So you do what you can to mitigate those. And like once those symptoms are relieved, then the rest kind of is much easier to deal with. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. I drank a ton of coffee and then I took a poop and then I felt better.
So are you like back on the pill now?
Yeah. And actually a fun fact I learned is like if you're on an IUD like the Mirena, you can do it with that in the whole time. You don't have to go off of it.
That was going to be my next question. Like if you had any idea about like somebody who has an IUD, because most of my friends have an IUD, I have an IUD. So I was like, do I have to get it removed?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think if you have like the copper one or like, you know, something that's really intense, you might have to, but the doctor was telling me like, yeah, you don't really have to do that.
That's so interesting because you were like, when you first get your period, that's like when you go in.
Yeah. And most people on it don't get it.
Don't get their period. Yeah. So like, when would you know to go in to get, I don't know. I mean,
have a different schedule. They gave me a piece of paper that were like, here's your instructions day by day. So I'm sure that list of instructions is just a little bit different when you have an IUD because the hormonal like cycle is going to be different.
So those injections that you were, the hormonal injections that you were doing for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Did you, you did them at home or you did them at the doctor?
Home. So it was like 1 a.m. 2 p.m.
Okay. And how often did you go into the doctor like in those 2 weeks?
Yeah. In the first week, it was like every 2 or 3 days. So there were a couple of days in between. And it was like they just have these monitoring hours in the morning. Mm-hmm. So you go in between like 7 and 10. So, and you can just kind of roll up whenever. And so I would just go before work. It was walking distance from my apartment. And then on the week immediately preceding the procedure, I went in like almost every day because they were like really monitoring closely for the growth, because I was progressing quickly.
Yeah. And now you have like 43 eggs. Do you,
33 of them matured. So 33 of them are frozen. They sent me a little picture of all of them, which I think is hilarious. I was like, what do I do with that picture? Like, do I draw smiley faces on each of them? Do I name them? Like, that feels too deep. But, you know, I showed my grandma and she was like, good to know. There are grandchildren, there are great grandchildren for me somewhere. But
another
thing to know is you do have to pay for the storage.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yeah, and I think it varies from like location to location. I know for me, like my benefit covers it for 4 years, which is great. But after that, like the facility that they're frozen in is on like Madison and Fifth. Like it is prime real estate. Like why are they doing that? I don't know. But it costs like $1,200 a year. So $600 twice a year. So yeah, it's not like a tiny amount, but it's also not unreasonable. And I feel like after the 4 years, like once I'm 29, I'll have at least something of a better idea of like if I want to keep them or not.
Yeah, totally. There's so much good stuff to think about here. And it's like making me think a lot too, because this is, it's been like planted in my mind.
Yeah.
As something that like maybe potentially should be done. And I would, in my mind, I was like, oh, I have to take my IUD out. So maybe I'll do it like when my IUD is up. Mm-hmm. But that sounds like that's not the case. So the whole process from A to Z, like how long did it take you?
Like 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if you count the initial consultation, then like a month and a half. But that was really because they wanted me to be a month off my birth control before starting.
Yeah, that's, whoa. Okay. I'm just like, my mind's blown. And I feel like we really, really, really like don't talk about these things at all.
Yeah.
And especially as like young women.
Yeah. And like, what a lot of people have asked me too is like, well, why don't you just like wait until you're 30? Like, especially if you have to, you know, pay for every year of storage. And that's a solid point. But I was also like, I don't know if I'm going to be in a good mental health, physical health. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be at my same job that's going to pay for it. I don't know if, you know, some random shit is going to happen that's going to prevent me from doing this. But also, like, when you're 25, so many of your eggs are like, quote unquote, viable. Mm-hmm. And that number just like drops precipitously as you become, you know, older. So a lot of people who are 30, like they'll get maybe like 5 to 10 eggs from that whole cycle. And 25, I got 33. Like, that's ridiculous. I'm never going to have to like worry about that again.
Yeah. I was actually talking to this with my coworkers. And two of my coworkers, who I'm like very close with, my like boss and this woman who I work like with very closely, she is basically like 40 and she just had her first kid.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss is like 35 and doesn't have kids yet, just got married. And they're both like career women, super smart, really fun, like great, like definitely look up to them. And I just kind of like brought it up and they were like, you 100% should do it, because we are seeing our friends right now like struggling going to IVF, trying to have kids, when like even if you're thinking about the cost now as somebody like whose company maybe doesn't cover it. And I don't know if you have any idea what the cost is. Like
it runs up to like 15K.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was around like 10-15K. Like you're spending more money than that. And just more sadness and pain, like when you're older trying to have a kid, like doing IVF treatments and going to like fertility clinics.
And like this process, like it doesn't preclude you from having a natural pregnancy. Like it doesn't impact that whatsoever, because it's just like one monthly cycle that they're taking your eggs from. So it's just kind of like an insurance policy. And that's what I'm treating it as.
Which is amazing. I mean, like you're not even somebody who knows if they want to have kids. Like mm-hmm. I'm pretty certain, like I'm like 99% sure I want to have kids. So it is really something that like I'm going to think more about. And I hope that like this was super valuable to my listeners.
If any listeners need information, feel free to give them my number. Happy to talk more.
Yeah. And like even for men who might be listening to this, like I hope this isn't boring, because this is really the reality of the situation for, you know, women you might even be with in the future. Or if you as a man aren't looking to settle down with a woman, you see that like it, there's a biological clock for us ticking if we want to have kids. And so that's why there's a rush for us. I think at a certain age, I see people who are, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, who are like, I really need to settle down if I want this to happen in my life. And you just kind of, you alleviated that. And so I applaud you. I think that's really amazing. And like to take 3 to 6 weeks out of your life when you're 25 to do something that would be really like impactful for you in the future is.
It's like, nothing.
Yeah, seriously. Like, and it is a cost. Like, we're not going to pretend like it isn't a cost.
Like, I still dropped a solid amount of money on it because I still had to do like my insurance deductible. But at the end of the day, it was like $2,000 instead of $1,500 or $15,000.
Yeah, and it's like, you want that new like MacBook Air or do you want kids?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like that's just what it is. I'm like, thank you so much for like being so open and honest about like this and everything. Yeah, and like before we wrap up, I just want to pivot back to like, what are you kind of looking for, hoping to get out of this, like coming on the podcast? Like, do you have an idea of what kind of person you like to be with? If somebody like, you know, has interest in you,
yeah,
like what would kind of interest you about them?
You know, someone who is, I think, first of all, like likes to do things. I don't know another way to say that, but I feel like a lot of people that I've met recently and a lot of my friends are just kind of, I don't want to be like insulting, but like domestic, right? Like because of COVID, it's so easy to like fall into that. And I just really miss like going on hikes and going skiing, going to the beach and going to random parties or, you know, plays, things like that. Like I'm always wanting to do something. So people who like to do that definitely are interesting to me. People who like to have a good debate, you know, are not afraid of like strong opinions. I think I accidentally offend people a lot by just kind of stating my opinions as facts. And it's something I know that I do. But like, I love to learn more about other people's perspectives. And people who aren't afraid of that feeling like a fight are great, because a lot of people get really defensive as soon as you're kind of like, oh, why do you feel that way? But yeah, other than that, someone who's open, ideally like ambitious, doesn't mean that they have to have like a super high paying job or anything right now. It just means like you're driven and you're motivated and you're high energy.
Love that. Well, we're past time. So we finish every single episode with this or that questions that I call shots.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Work hard or play hard?
Play hard.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
Dishes.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram, unfortunately.
Money or fame?
Money.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Coffee date or drinks date?
Drinks.
What's your favorite season?
Summer.
What song are you loving right now?
Ooh, I just saw Lorde last night and summer is my favorite season. So Solar Power is a vibe for sure. But also a lot of Rina Sawayama. Love her.
Ooh, she's coming to the city.
I know.
Soon.
I'm going to be in Amsterdam during the time. It's going to be your party and her concert and I'm going to miss it all.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
Rate myself out of 10? Ooh, I'm confident. I don't know, like an 8.
What is your drink of choice?
A Manhattan.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Ooh, probably like Sunshine. I just love the sun. Catamaran.
Nice. My mom gets so seasick, but catamarans weirdly are the only boat she can be on.
Good for her. They're great. They're great boats. I'm trying to take sailing lessons soon.
Oh, you know? That's so fun. That's so fun. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on, for your honesty and your candor. And I really appreciate it. I'm like really excited for this to be my last episode of season 3. So I hope my listeners really enjoyed this season. I think we explored a lot of different topics and a lot of different perspectives. If you like that, please send me feedback, rate the podcast on Spotify, on Apple, leave a review, send me a DM. I'm going to be taking a break for an undisclosed amount of time, a few weeks, a few months. I don't know. You'll figure it out. So follow me on Instagram at ariana.nathani and at drinks.first to kind of follow along with the rest of the journey. I'll be continuing to have events and hopefully we'll return with the podcast soon enough. And if you're interested in matching with our guest, the link is in the bio of the podcast and it's in the link in the bio of our Instagram. Go there, see, check out.
If you just want to learn more about egg freezing, you know, yeah, reach out.
If you want to learn more about egg freezing, definitely reach out. So thank you so much again for being on. And this has been such a great season. I've really had a great time talking to all these people, and I'm glad I get to end it with you.
Thank you, and congrats on an awesome season.
Thank you so much to our guest for talking with me today. If you're interested in matching with them, visit the link in bio on Instagram at drinks.first. Or if you don't have an Instagram, email us drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials for the latest updates, guest information, events, and other fun content. If you like this episode, please remember to rate, share, review on your podcast app. That helps us grow the most. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. You can find me on Instagram at ariana.nathani and on TikTok at ariana.nathani. Be sure to check back next Tuesday for a new episode.